Hi, Marty Lurie here with Ray Fossey. I love talking baseball with this man. Ray, nice to see you, and always glad to be part of the game.
Marty, always great to see you. Nice to see you have a new machine there, too. That's good that you're getting up in the high-tech world. So, no, it's a great time of the year, and I think we're all saddened that the season's coming to an end. And that's the sad part, and if you don't play in October, then the good news about playing in October, you're in postseason. The bad news, if you don't win the World Series, the season ends abruptly, unlike if you're not one of the top 10 teams on the final day of the season, you know your season's over. Unfortunately for the A's, that's where they are right now.
Yeah, boy, very good observation. You know, I always thought of that over the last few years, that if you lose one of these series, it just ends goodbye.
Well, and that really is the tough part. You want to get there, and, you know, for what the Giants did to go through, we saw Kansas City, the A's did, and we got a chance to see them as well in Kansas City. So it was a great run for them, but I think they realized that if you don't get the fast guys on the bases, you can't steal. And that's something they did against the A's in the play-in game for the wild card. And congratulations to them. They won the division, and here we're sitting to see what's going to happen for the rest of the season.
Ray Fossey with us. Yeah, let's see, 75, you were on the team, and you got lost to the Red Sox. Yeah. I would imagine that year, and that just all of a sudden in five games, that one ended.
But, Marty, the great thing about that season was on September the 24th of 1975, our daughter Nikki was born. The same day that we, the A's, clinched the fifth consecutive division championship against the Chicago White Sox, Carol delivered our first daughter, Nikki, and, of course, Lindsay was born in 1982. So even though that was a bad year and lost three in a row to the Boston Red Sox, it was a special year for us.
All right. I was there. I saw some of those games. I remember them. Very tight games. Yastrzemski did something, didn't he?
Well, that was a season. Of course, it turned out to be, as they all said, it was the greatest in 75 of the Red Sox and the Reds. But that's how little they really appreciated Charlie Finley and the A's winning three consecutive championships, because when the A's lost the three straight, It was just meant to be. Went into Boston, and I remember in 75, we lost Catfish Hunter, so he wasn't there. In 74, when I had my neck surgery, Charlie Finley called me in the hospital, UC Medical Center, as I was getting ready to be operated on, Dr. Charles Wilson, and he did a wonderful job. And Charlie comes and says, you know, you're going to be out a couple of weeks, I'm going to bring up this kid named Claudel Washington. Well, Claudel ended up playing left field not only then, but in the next year, 1975, but we're going to play the Red Sox, and there was a fly ball hit, and Claudel was going to play it off the Green Monster, and it hit the base of the wall, you know, down on the warning track. And then so the next day, Alvin Dark said, Ray, you're going to catch. I said, Alvin, I have 50 at bats all year. And when Reggie Cleveland faced us that game too, Vida pitched, and it was like a fastball throwing 200 miles an hour, had no chance, and then came back to Oakland and lost. And Yaz was great, one of the greatest players I ever played against, and for him to get the 3,000 hits. And if you think what Yaz did, and I want to say the 66-7 season years, he got into weightlifting in the Universal Gym. And everybody goes, nobody lifts weights. Well, they saw how Yaz performed after that, and then everybody kind of got into it. But Yaz was a great player. What a tremendous player. Marty, I have to tell you, I don't know how your time is, but I have to tell you this quick story. That with Yaz, when I first joined the Cleveland Indians, I was sitting in the Boston Red Sox visiting dugout, and Sonny Siebert was pitching. And the first hitter for the A's was Vic Davalio, or for the Indians, Vic Davalio. And I don't know, Lon Borg or somebody just low-bridged him, and dirt flying all over the place. I'm going, wow, look at this. He's on the dirt. But nothing was said. So Sonny Siebert goes out, and he waits. Yaz came up, and he threw a ball, did the same thing to him. And I went, uh-oh, going to be a fight. Yaz got up, dusted himself off, and hit, and whatever. But I watched Yaz go to left field. And, Marty, I was sitting in the dugout, Fenway Park, and I looked at left field, and Yaz receives a ball from the center fielder to throw around. He threw it into the stands in right field. That was his way of releasing his frustration. Not on the field to fight. He said, you knocked our guy down. We knocked your guy down. I got knocked down because I'm the best player on this team, which he was, always was, as a Hall of Famer. But he got rid of his frustration by throwing the ball in the stands as if to say, that's it, it's over. And it was over. And I said, wow, here's my first experience, and I'm seeing this happen right before my eyes.
Boy, what a story. One of the great storytellers of all time. And you are. Yeah. You know, I say that all the time. Yogi Berra passed. Yeah. And I heard your broadcast the other day. The captain, Ken Korak, asked you about it. He said, well, you had a lot of his baseball cards.
Of course. I grew up at a time when Yogi, I mean, somebody started saying you played against him. I said, come on, guys, I'm not that old. He managed the 73 Mets when we played the Coliseum against the Mets in the World Series. And, of course, the Bud Harrelson play, you know, will always stand out. But, Marty, at the time, there were so few cameras. And so the camera angles compared to now, there have been 100 of them looking at different angles. And one would have shown that as Bud Harrelson came in, Joe Rudy threw from left field, and the ball was going to be to the home dugout side, or the third base side. So I reached for it and figured he's going to be sliding as a catcher. I was going to go back to home plate. And as he started to go, I saw that he was going to stand up, and he went around me. And I just brought the glove from down up, and I just grazed him on his uniform. Well, his uniform was bloused. It's not like where you're hitting somebody. It just gradually grazed his uniform. Well, Augie Donatelli was laying on his stomach looking down the line, and he called him out. That's when Yogi came running out and said, he didn't tag him. And Augie said, he got him in the blank, blank, because they were mic'd, and you could hear him. But, you know, to this day, people say you never tagged him, but the cameras didn't show it. Now, what happened last year, Howie Rose, who broadcast for the Mets, came into town. Mets were in town in the interleague play. And so I do a broadcast for Sunday, which turned out to be great because I said, Howie Rose is in town. So he said, you know, I was a Mets fan back in 73. He said, I was sitting in the stands of Shea Stadium watching those games. And he says, you still haven't tagged Bud Harrelson. And I said, and we're doing this interview. And I said, Howie, get over it. It's been 40 years. And he said, but I have Bud Harrelson's number and he'll tell you didn't tag him. I said, of course, he didn't feel it. But here, 40 years later, such a great baseball fan, Howie Rose, that he still remembers that play, and he still said, and I said, but Augie Donatelli did his job as a home plate umpire, positioned himself down the line where he could see whatever it was, and it happened to be a tag that nobody knew except Augie and me. That's all that mattered.
All right. I guess that's right then. You know, it's funny how catchers remember things, and Ray Fosse, great memory for Yogi. Well, Yogi on the tag of Jackie Robinson and home plate on the steal of home. He swore he got him, and they called him safe. The umpire was behind the play, just put the hands out, and after the game, they came in to talk to Jackie, asked him, was he safe or out? Jackie, of course, is safe, and the on-deck hitter was Frank Kellert, a first baseman, and they looked at Frank Kellert and said, Frank, was he out or safe? And Keller went, well, yeah. And Jackie said, get out of here right now.
Well, let me say about that, and I'm not surprised, because if you think of a catcher going down, where's the umpire? He's behind him. He can't see home plate. And Marty, as a broadcaster now, this is why I emphatically say, home plate umpire should never call a check swing, because you can't, if you're watching the flight of the baseball and you're calling strikes, you can't see what the hitter's doing. So many times a hitter would get fooled, his body will go forward, but the bat stays back, and the umpire will see the body, he'll call him out without appealing. If I were a home plate umpire, or if make me a commissioner for a day, I would insist that every home plate umpire on a check swing go to first or third, depending on who the hitter is. Take it away from the home plate umpire, because inevitably, with so many cameras and so many replays, they're going to show that he wasn't even close to swinging the bat, but they automatically make those calls, I think, a lot of times based on that. Well, it's the same thing with Jackie. As Yogi went down to tag him, home plate umpire couldn't see him, you know, so he probably saw, hell, there's a home plate steal, you know, and I'm going to call him safe. I wouldn't say it's predetermined, but it's close enough that since he didn't see it, he called him safe.
I remember the picture so well in Yogi's reaction. All right. Barry Zito, Tim Hudson go at it. You were there for the beginning of their careers. You saw so many great moments. Talk about them as competitors and pitchers.
I think they all three say the same thing, and that is each one of us kind of created that, I wouldn't say necessity, but the desire to do better. You know, and when you have a good pitching staff, a team that wins, you look at a pitcher one day, the next pitcher says, wow, he pitched a shutout. I got to match him. And just like Dizzy Dean and his brother, when Daffy pitched a no-hitter, Dizzy said, well, if I'd have known that, I would have done the same thing. You know the whole story. But, I mean, they build on each other. They built on them. And I was fortunate in 99 when Tim Hudson came up. We were on the bus actually going to San Diego, and he made his debut, and we're on the bus, and we're talking, and all of a sudden he's out there pitching 11 strikeouts in 5 innings. And I'll never forget Marty got his base hit. And he's a great hitter at Auburn, as we all know. But he gets his base hit, and he's rounding first like he's going for second. And a guy picked it up, and he got back this look. And he's like, oops, I think I'll stay here, because he would have been out by 20 feet. But a very, very good competitor. And I think one of the best stories, and I think you could look at Tim Hudson, that any player who believes that he's not good enough because his size is not the prototypical major league player. Look at Tim Hudson at 6 foot, 160 pounds, signing out of Auburn. And fortunately, maybe because of his size, he passed through a lot of, draft choice, 12th, I don't know. But anyway, he passed through all the drafts and the teams that the A's were able to get him. But I believe, and I've always believed, that you never look at what a person can throw. And that's why I believe that scouts at the stands, the ballpark, can see so many more things than a video can or a camera can see or a TV monitor. You can't see how that pitcher is going to react, what he's got in his stomach, and how he's going to pitch. And Tim Hudson was great. And then Barry Zito comes up, and Mark Mulder. And I remember when Barry Zito came up and he said, I think the A's were in Colorado. And they said, we don't want to start him there because the altitude is going to affect his curveball. Come on. His curveball is not going to be affected by anything. He's one of the greatest curveballs. But he makes his debut at the Coliseum. And what does he do? He strikes out the side with the bases loaded in the fifth inning. And it was the Angels, and it was Tim Salmon, Mo Vaughn, and Garrett Anderson. And he got all three with his three different pitches, fastball, curve, and a changeup, and struck them out off to a standing ovation. And so Mulder, you know, great splitter. And I think Tim Hudson's comment about he was always upset because Mr. GQ, you know, he had it all working. But of the three, you look at the unfortunate thing with Mulder and his injury. Marty, I think, in all honesty, when he came back last year and tried out with the Angels and worked hard, and for someone to be out of the game as long as he was and to watch a pitcher, I think it was a Dodgers pitcher, he saw his arm angle and he said, wait a minute, that looks something like I could do. And he started pitching and he said, I can make a comeback. I believe 100% that he could have made the Angels staff last year had he not torn his Achilles, ruptured his Achilles tendon on the first day. It's almost like Scott Sizemore with Josh Donaldson getting an opportunity when Sizemore blew out his knee. But for the three of them, the most memorable three game, and I asked Tim Hudson, and you'd probably have to go back and look at the years they played together, how often the three of them faced a team in a three-game series. I do remember in Arizona, before the All-Star break in 2001, when Hudson pitched the first game, shut him out, a one-hitter, and then Mulder, they all three pitched, and to the point that in the offseason after the Diamondbacks won the World Series, that Curt Schilling said to Mark Mulder, thank God we didn't face you guys in the World Series because we would never have been able to beat you after what happened. That three-game series, the A's scored 10 runs. Those big three gave up only 2 runs. No walks in the series, and it was one of those series that, guys, this is what Major League Pitching is all about. The big three on the mound in a three-game series. And I just, you know, again, you'd have to look at the box scores and just see how often that did occur. But I always thought that if you're a team and you're going in to face the A's in a three-game series and you're facing the big three, forget it. You have no chance. And I think the Diamondbacks proved that in 2001.
So this is a celebration of two great pitchers of the whole Bay Area. And, right. You know, you're a Bay Area guy. It's not that easy for the Bay Area to embrace people.
Right.
These both of them have been embraced.
Marty, let's go back to the beginning of the season. Tim Hudson didn't know if he was going to announce his retirement. We did know that Barry Zito didn't make the A's. He was going to Nashville. I talked to Steve Fidelli, who's our director of ticket operations upstairs. And I said, Giants, the final three home games? And I said, how quickly are those games going to sell out? He said, pretty quickly. So these games are going to be sold out or near capacity. We know the game that Hudson and Zito, that's automatically a sellout. And so you have Bay Area fans who love both the A's and the Giants. And, Marty, I'll sit upstairs during these games, and I'll close my eyes when something will happen, and you can't tell whether it's the A's or the Giants because there's so many Giants fans here as well as A's fans. It happens the same thing over in San Francisco. But I think it is a celebration because both of them pitched for both ball clubs. Tim Hudson's already announced his retirement. Barry Zito, and you don't want to ever say thank you for injuries, but obviously injuries occurred, and Barry gets the call up. I thought he should have been called up during the season because the pitching staff was so bad anyway. In a lot of cases, injuries, of course, was part of that. But he finally gets the call up, and such a great storybook ending to have Hudson and Zito facing each other in the game two of the series. It couldn't be scripted even better.
Bill King should be here.
Bill King would absolutely love this because, you know, he could paint a picture, as you know, as well as anybody, and he would paint a perfect picture. But I think fans who are going to watch this, whether on TV or at the Coliseum in a sellout crowd, are going to enjoy it. And I think it's already going to be predetermined, Marty, that – Bob Melvin, being the class person that he is, he's going to pick a time when he's going to walk to the mound and take out Barry Zito so he can get the standing ovation he deserves. And I have a feeling, because Tim Hudson said, I don't pitch deep into ball games either anyway. And he said, I'm going to kind of, I said, well, Barry's only 60, 70, 80 pitches. He said, that's me too, kind of the same thing. So I kind of envision that both managers will pick a time that they will take the pitchers out so that fans can really show their appreciation for two of the greatest pitchers ever pitched at this ball club.
Very good. You got a little Hollywood in you. I like this, all right. And we forgot Lon. Lon should be here too.
Well, of course, the great Lon Simmons. I mean, I owe so much to that man. And, you just can't, this show's not long enough to talk about the great things that Lon Simmons did, and for everybody, not just me, but for me, I mean, I'm standing here as a broadcaster because of Lon Simmons, and what could be more and better said about that? Such a great giving person, and there was not a selfish bone in his body, but one of the great ones, just like you, my friend.
What a storyteller. He's the best. I'm telling you, he is. Ray, thanks so much as always.
Marty, you're the best. The only problem on that, you got the KNBR, but that's all right. That's all right. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing because you are one of the best. And by the way, how many interviews have you done now?
I don't know. I mean, let's see. You're, 25,000? I'm probably at 16,000. I'll never catch you.
You will never catch me. God willing, you'll never catch me. But you're a good man. Always appreciate everything, and always good to see you, Marty.
All right. That's Ray Fossey. More coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.